Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's been a while. It's been at least over a month, I think, since I've hopped on and done one of these. I was on vacation, and after that, I was sick for a long time. Would have made my terrible voice even more terrible to hear. But anyway, if you're listening, thank you for sticking with it. And I wanted to just do a quick episode here. And it's not, this one's like not even, some of them are semi-scripted, but this one's not even, not even scripted at all, really. I'm just going off of the cuff here. But I wanted to come on to talk about pro-Palestinian, I wouldn't even call it pro-Palestinian, but to talk about rhetoric that happens from the left and from supposed progressives that I deem as insufficient or just plain disingenuous when it comes to advocating for the rights of the Palestinian people and as well as criticizing Israel. And, you know, I will always criticize conservatives, Zionists, fascists, colonists on here, of course, but I do believe that I also need to criticize figures who would be on my side of the political spectrum. And that person is none other than Bernie Sanders. For years, I've been a supporter of Bernie, a big one. You can see there's pictures on my Instagram of me in Texas wearing a Bernie Sanders t-shirt. I mean, I've really admired the policies and the advocacy of Bernie for a long time. And it's not saying much, but by comparison, relatively, to the rest of the U.S. lawmakers, Bernie is pro-Palestinian, definitely. He's definitely more critical of the state of Israel and the occupation and the apartheid policies, although Bernie has not come out and accurately labeled the state of Israel an apartheid state. He is definitely much more critical of the state of Israel and its most recent genocidal attack on the Gaza Strip than other U.S. lawmakers. However, Bernie's criticism of Israel falls short and is overall inadequate to properly address the fundamental issues that make Israel a pariah state on the global stage. And of course, Bernie is not the only progressive to do this. AOC is also guilty of this sort of inadequate criticism of Israel. But primarily with Bernie here, I'm going to touch on a point that he often makes. And he tweets this out. He says this all the time. And when he's criticizing Israel, he does not explicitly name Israel. It's always the Netanyahu right-wing government. It's always Netanyahu right-wing government. And he's using that as a placeholder for where he would otherwise criticize Israel. Most notably, his tweets, Netanyahu's right-wing government is starving the Palestinian people. I'll be damned if we're going to give another nickel to the Netanyahu government in order to continue this war against the Palestinian people. And from him, it's just, it's Netanyahu, Netanyahu, right-wing government, right-wing government. And while that is true, this is the most right-wing government in the history, the short history of the state of Israel. This criticism of Israel is not, it's inadequate, and it does not attack the root problems with Israel, primarily the problems dealing with occupation, with fascism, i.e. Zionism. And that's because the inference that you draw from listening to Bernie's rhetoric concerning the plight of the Palestinian people is that this is remedied by a change of leadership, by if removing Netanyahu from office or if breaking up his right-wing coalition in the Knesset will just magically liberate the Palestinian people, or if it will lead to peace, if it will lead to a two-state solution, or if it will lead to the end of the indiscriminate slaughter of the Palestinians or the systemic oppression of the Palestinian people. but it's simply not true. Netanyahu is a very easy target for criticism of the state of Israel. He's a very easy scapegoat to make your criticism while distancing it from actually criticizing the root problems with Israel that did not start with Netanyahu. Netanyahu is an openly right-wing politician. He has openly called for genocide. Before he was prime minister, he was to the right of politicians like Yitzhak Rabin, who was assassinated not long after Netanyahu held up his picture to an angry crowd of right-wing Zionists and ripped it up and, you know, kind of insinuated violence against him, but that's a whole other thing. Anyway, Netanyahu he represents the worst of Israeli society. He's the manifestation of the genocidal intent and the colonial nature of Zionism in the state of Israel. So it's very easy to direct your criticism at Netanyahu if you want to distance yourself from criticizing the foundations of Zionism and the foundations of Israel that are inherently fascist. And all of this, it did not begin with Netanyahu. Israel was an apartheid, or is an apartheid regime, but it began its apartheid long before Netanyahu came into power. Netanyahu wasn't even born at the time of the 1948 Nakba, back when his father was still going by Milikowski in Poland. Bernie is trying to, I think at least what I'm inferring from his message here, is that replacing Netanyahu with somebody on the quote-unquote Israeli left will remedy this situation. Or will at least, maybe that's being optimistic, will at least be an improvement. But I would argue that the problem is a foundational problem with the state of Israel itself and with the pervasiveness of Zionism. And the Israeli left doesn't really exist. You cannot be a liberal Zionist. You cannot be a decolonial Zionist. You cannot be a leftist progressive Zionist. It makes just about as much sense as saying I'm a progressive or leftist fascist, because Zionism purports that the land of Palestine belongs to the Jewish people and the Jewish people alone. And that is not just the pervasive ideology within Israel. That is enforced legislatively by the Israeli Basic Law, primarily the nation-state law, which explicitly says that the right to self-determination in Israel, quote-unquote Israel, belongs to Jewish people and them alone. And Israeli Basic Law, section 7A, don't quote me on that, but it's there. Israeli Basic Law also bars candidates from running for office if they do not publicly state that Israel is a state for Jewish people. In other words, legally, legislatively, the fascist character of Israel is preserved. And, you know, I want you to think about that. Living in Canada, if we had a law on our books that said you could only run for office in Canada, you could only run to be member of parliament, you can only run to be prime minister, if you publicly said that Canada is a state for Christians or any other Buddhists, whatever you want, if you had to publicly say that Canada was a state only for Christians, is that not fascism? Is that not a detriment to the democratic process? And is that not a severe impediment to any sort of progress, to any sort of light at the end of the tunnel, to this idea that that the state will naturally progress and that they will let go of these very reactionary and fascist tendencies that they hold? And of course, if Netanyahu leaves office, if he ever does, these laws don't go away. Zionism will still remain the dominant ideology in Israel. The apartheid regime will remain, Israel was an apartheid state under what would be considered more liberal prime ministers than Netanyahu. And Bernie Sanders' criticism of exclusively Netanyahu is very strategic here, because it leaves the door open, essentially. It leaves the door open for after a removal of Netanyahu, after he is no longer in a position of power, Bernie Sanders can then become a champion of Israel again, and in turn, hopefully hold on to some semblance of progressive support from his base. But to you, the listener, my message is that I would watch out for these progressives who fail to criticize Israel, who fail to make what I would deem is an adequate criticism of the state of Israel, of the ethno-fascism that characterizes Israel. And to go along with Bernie's inadequate criticism of the state of Israel, he's also inadequately proposing counters to the state of Israel. Primarily, Bernie wants to condition military aid to Israel, which in and of itself is a positive thing. But it does not go so far as to be an adequate means of freeing the Palestinian people or an adequate means of establishing peace in the region. He's essentially asking for a gentler genocide. Because whether or not Israel is on trial for genocide at the ICJ, it's still morally reprehensible to provide arms to a state that openly practices apartheid and that is openly facilitating the longest belligerent military occupation in recorded history. A state that is flagrantly violating the Fourth Geneva Convention pertaining to the exportation of a settler population into occupied territory and the subsequent expulsion of the indigenous population from that territory. And if Israel were even to comply to the conditions that would hypothetically be placed upon the billions in military aid that they receive, not just this year, which reached an all-time high, but every year, because of the long-standing and dominant practices of the state of Israel, it would be unethical and against international law to do so. What Bernie has not done is he has not called for a complete and comprehensive arms embargo against the state of Israel. He's not called for targeted sanctions against Israeli companies. He has not called for divestment from Israel. And as we are seeing from Joe Biden, primarily in symbolic of Michigan, we can expect to see a lot of progressive voters move away from Bernie Sanders as they have moved away from Joe Biden over this huge lapse in moral consistency. But my message here is that we need to be wary of these progressive politicians that are now trying to salvage whatever support from their base that they still have by offering what is an inadequate criticism, an inadequate action against the state of Israel's genocidal policy toward the Palestinian people. That did not start on October 7th, and it will not end anytime soon. You can expect more episodes from me shortly, hopefully. But anyway, thank you for listening. Free Palestine. Have a great day.